That's the thing, the organizers for the invitation to this workshop. So today I'm going to talk about some work on geometric transitions. And integrable systems, I mean more specifically Hitchin integrable systems. So this is work done so far in collaboration with Ron Donaghi, Christian Hoffman, Tony Pantev, and we also had a very useful conversation with Robert Digraph. So it's, I should say from the beginning that this is going to be a talk about the topological B model. So unlike most of the talks we heard so far, which were about Gromov-Whitney invariant, the topological A model, this is going to be about topological B model. And the general setup that I would like to consider is the following, that geometric transitions are in fact what's known in algebraic geometry as extremal transitions. So these are extremal transitions of the following kind. You find some kind of family, so let's say one parameter or multi-parameter family of collabial, projective collabial threefolds, degenerating to a singular threefold with isolated ODPs. And then we are considering geometric situations in which the singular threefolds admit a Krepon projective resolution, or maybe quasi-projective. And I'm going to call C1 up to CN exceptional curves. These are exceptional -1, -1 curves. And then in this geometric setup, the sort of the conjecture, if you want the physical conjecture, or the Lagrangian, which is known as Lagrangian duality, says the following. This is first formulated by Gopal Kumar and Vafa in a specific local model. Says the following, is that you consider, for example, in the B model, you look at closed strings. So you look at the B model, the closed string B model, on some smooth X mu. And here, what you do is that you wrap some D-brains, and I'm going to try to be more precise about this statement in mathematical terms. You wrap D-brains with multiplicities N1 and N on the exceptional curves. So here you have some kind of, what you get here is an open, closed topological B model, in the sense that it has open strings and closed strings together. And then Lagrangian duality conjecture some kind of equivalence between these two models in a specific limit, in the limit in which the multiplicities go to infinity and the string coupling constant goes to zero, keeping NIGS fixed. So this was tested in many examples, and it was shown to work in many examples, both in the A and B models. Now, I don't think any physicist, at least, doubts that this conjecture is true. The point of view I'd like to take today is that I'm trying to use this setup to learn something about topological open string, namely to learn something about this sector of the theory. So this is our focus today, mostly. More precisely, maybe the open part of the story. Okay, so if I take a target space point of view, which was nicely described by Robert in the previous talk, so from a target space perspective, if I draw again the diagram, so from this perspective, here we are dealing with Kodaiga-Spencer theory, which was very nicely described by Robert in the talk today. Here we are dealing with Kodaiga-Spencer theory, which is coupled somehow to holomorphic Chern-Simons theory. This is some kind of a gauge theory which occurs on holomorphic brains. So it's a very special kind of field theory. And then, of course, the conjecture would be that these two have to be equivalent. And it would be nice to have some kind of mathematical formulation for both objects in the game, but so far we don't really have it, except for maybe for very specific examples. And for that reason, let me just consider like the easiest, if you want the easiest case, I mean the simplest case you can consider is actually truncate this to genus zero. So if we just consider genus zero, genus zero string amplitude, and this diagram becomes somehow more familiar because what we get by considering genus zero is that here, Kodaira sensitive, it's really just Hodge theory of X mu. You can make everything out of period integrals. So this is Hodge theory of X mu. Here we have a closing sector, which is going to be Hodge theory, of course, again, of X little. However, then we have this open string sector of the theory, which is holomorphic to Simons. And this one is still very interesting because here Hodge theory is, from the string point of view, classical. It's just genus zero string. Everything is made of period integrals. It's classical geometry. Now, the holomorphic to Simons, however, if you truncate to genus zero, the transition, you have to truncate the holomorphic to Simons to the so-called large N planar limit. And what this means is that you have to sum in the Feynman diagram expansion of the theory, you sum over fat planar graphs. Something like this. So these are fat or given planar graphs. So that's sort of the consistent truncation of this transition to genus zero amplitude. Sorry, this is a fat graph. It's a ribbon graph. Okay, so so the goal of this talk is try to exploit, to exploit this kind of geometric situation in order to learn something about the dynamics of the topological deep ranks, at least in this large N planar limit, by summing fat planar graphs in some way. And, of course, in a specific geometric situation. Ideally, you'd like to do it for an arbitrary, a transition among projective collabial threefolds, but we are far, our present technical level is far from really being able to do that. So I'll just concentrate again on a specific class of examples. But before I do that, I would like to yet reformulate this diagram a little bit, namely what you can do. This is where integral systems come in, following the work of Donaghy and Markman. You can define, what happens here is that if you're presented with some, so suppose you're presented with some, let's call it a moduli space, an enlarged moduli space of collabial threefolds. Enlarged meaning that we parameterize collabial threefolds together with the choice of the global holomorphic threeform. And this is a universal family, some kind of universal family over the moduli space, then you can associate to this data an algebraic integrable system which encodes the genus zero amplitude of the B model. So to this you can associate an algebraic, or actually in this case, if S is really projective, it's an analytic integrable system which encodes the genus zero amplitude, or more precisely, it really encodes the Yukawa cubic of the B model on this family of collabials. All right, so the way it's defined, well, you just take for each X, assuming that X are smooth, and projectively take the intermediate Jacobian, so you consider the intermediate Jacobian vibration over B. The fibers are complex tori, and they are polarized complex tori, but they are not principally polarized. You don't get a billion varieties that way. So the fibers are polarized. Complex tori. And moreover, you can show there is a very natural, it's a canonical holomorphic symplectic form on the total space of this family. So you have sigma. It's a holomorphic symplectic form on the total space. It's a canonical construction such that the fibers are Lagrangian. Okay. And then according as explained in Donaghy and Markman was is that you can to this data you can actually associate this cubic form on the base. So this data produces for you. If you look at the period the differential of the period map for this family of complex tori, you're gonna get a cubic form on the base. I'm gonna skip some details. If at any point you need more technical details, please don't hesitate to ask. I'm gonna keep the details to a minimum. So the differential of the period map for this family of complex tori is let's call it BP. It's some let me maybe call nu is the push forward of the vertical tangent bundle, holomorphic vertical tangent bundle, is some section of it can be viewed that way after some tautological identifications, and then the condition that is be that this system is integrable is that this really comes from a symmetric cubic form. Okay, so this is really the Yukawa coupling which was studied a lot, which was studied very extensively in the physics literature. Okay, so now accepting this, then what you find is that in this diagram again, coming back to this diagram again, what we find is that here we're getting some family of collabial clifolds. So we're getting this integrable system, this analytic integrable system. For this particular family, and here on the other hand, although I haven't indicated, I haven't made this explicit, this can also come in families, of course. We're going to get another algebraic integrable system there. But however, what happened? Anyway, this conjecture says that somehow as I said, the genus 0 B model is encoded in an analytic integrable system on this family. Here it's encoded in a similar analytic integrable system, and then sort of the difference, very roughly speaking, the difference between these integrable systems has to be accounted for by this Lagrangian planar limit in some way. I should write here very big quotation marks because obviously this is very rough. So in any way, the message I'd like you to take out of this picture is that somehow the Lagrangian duality predicts some kind of an integrable system in the Lagrangian limit of the holomorphic Chang-Simons theory. And this is the thing that we'd like to make explicit and understand at least in a specific case of a specific series of examples.
For your X view, if you just study the sub-decimation, the things that change the theory of the vanishing cycle or something like that.
That's right. That's right, but not in general. So that's why I said a specific class of examples, which I'm going to construct next.
Okay.
Not in general. You can't do that if you just take an arbitrary transition between the projective collabial clifolds. This is not going to happen. And that's some sign that there is something that we don't know, we don't understand, we have to learn. But anyway, the examples I'm going to talk about today will actually satisfy this condition. All right, so before I go there, I should mention that this was an incarnation of a diagram like this, actually, including the higher genus correction, was appeared in the work of Dagoth and Vafa. So there is beautiful work of Dagoth and Vafa, let me call it DV, in which they studied some transitions like this. They studied some incarnation of this diagram, in which these things are really hypersurfaces in C4. So these are hypersurfaces, and in that case, what happened is that the holomorphic Trin-Simons piece of the story here turned out to be equivalent to a Hermitian matrix model. Which can be analyzed using, matrix model techniques, which may be familiar to some of you. And essentially, in the large N-planar limit, is dominated, is governed by what's so-called the spectral cover of a matrix model, which fits in very nicely with the geometry of the deformed threefold. And I don't have time to give you this in detail, but it will be a special case of the construction I'm going to describe next. So I'll show you how it follows from a more general class of models. That's correct. So somehow this thing has to make up for the missing part. That's correct. Because here you're losing. Yeah. So in some way, the physics has to make up for the missing part. Well, and I can't formulate that in very general terms because I don't know how to say it. But in the example I'm studying, I'll try to show you how that happens. In this example, it does happen, for example. Okay, so... All right, so now let me get to the concrete examples. Let me get to the concrete examples I mentioned before. All right, so the examples, there's a class of examples, a nice class of examples which were constructed by Ron and Tony. And what is it? So you start with some, so first of all, I should say they are non-compact threefolds. They are non-compact collodial threefolds, and the way you construct the families is by the following. You fix some data, which is a curve. This is a projective smooth curve of genus G. And you fix a rank 2 bundle, rank 2 semi-stable bundle on sigma, together with an identification of the determinant with canonical. All right, so that's the starting data. And then you construct, that's the initial data if you want. Then you construct something like a, in order to build up the family, first start, you construct a, if you want, something like a maximally singular threefold. So first let me construct X naught, which is really like the total space of V over sigma, modded out by plus minus 1, acting on the fiber. This is a singular threefold. And it's collodial because of this condition. All right. Then I should maybe say it briefly that you can construct even more general examples, like replacing plus minus 1 by an AD group, but I'll just consider only this thing to make life simple. All right. So you do this, and then you construct it with a projective resolution, Krepon projective resolution, which looks like, let S denote the... It's a ruled surface obtaining by projectivizing V. So then there is a Krepon projective resolution X twiddle, which is the total space of the canonical of S over S. So that's a fairly standard algebraic geometry. All right, so we get a pair like this. And now we are going to generate the whole family by deforming this pair, if you want. So let me just give you the main fact. So what are the main facts here? Well, first, if we study deformations of the resolution, X0 twiddle is a total space of a line bundle over S. So you can show that if you keep everything fixed, sigma and z fixed, then here you get a space of deformations, which is H1 of an S of Ks, which is isomorphic H0 sigma K sigma. And the deformation X, so let me call a point here X alpha. So X pseudo alpha, it's, if you want, in slightly formal language, is the total space of a Ks torsor over S. In other words, it's an affine bundle over S, but it's not a line bundle. And moreover, if you study the geometry of this object, you get here. Now, it's obvious that X0 contains S as a zero section. So there is a... So S is containing X0 as a zero section. What happens after you deform is that X alpha contains two G minus two exceptional curves, which are the fibers of S over the zeros of alpha. And I'm assuming alpha is generic, so it has distinct zeros. So somehow you deform this picture and you make a threefold that has isolated exceptional curves, and the surface is no longer contained in X alpha. But there is another way in which you can say this. In other words, you have some family of holomorphic curves in X naught, but after deformation, it's mapped to some transverse holomorphic family of curves in which the generic fiber is not a holomorphic curve, it's just a smooth cycle. And it's holomorphic at special points. Okay. So that's the deformation of X0. Now, second fact we need to know is that you have to study deformations of the singular guy, X0. The singular guy was this thing. So now it turns out you get a deformation space which is parameterized by quadratic differentials. I'm going to call it B. We got a deformation space like this. And in fact, you can describe explicitly the threefolds corresponding to a point beta here. Not sure if I should go through that, but, well, okay, anyway. So there is some description, explicit description, and X beta is smooth if beta is generic, meaning that it has distinct zeros. And if beta is a square, then X alpha squared is singular. It has isolated ODPs at, if you're on the zeros of alpha, or if you're corresponding to zeros of alpha. All right? So, the third geometric fact we need is that there is a map. For each alpha, I can construct a map from X alpha twiddle to X alpha squared, which contracts the curves. Which contracts the exceptional curves. So the picture I'm getting is going to be, I can encode it in some diagram of modelized spaces, which we'd like to think it's much more general. So this is a particular incarnation of a sort of stratified structure of the modelized space, in which so you get something like a stratified modulized space, which seems to be a generic feature of the Dijkstra-Vafa transitions, in which you get some large modulized space. Well, maybe I shouldn't call this B. Let me call it L, sorry. Some large modulized space. Then it contains what we call a medium modulized space, which parameterizes a singular guy. So this is X beta. And it contains a small modulized space, which now is a point zero, and it's just a singular thing. And now here we have the modulized space of the resolution M twiddle, which maps here 2 to 1 to M, which sends alpha to alpha squared. And, well, we have a modulized space of the resolution, which is isomorphic here, and so on. Okay, so that's sort of a picture which is much more general than this, but this is a particular incarnation. And here, what are we going to do? We are going to wrap, so now coming back to the physical question, we are going to pick up a point here, this point, say, and wrap bibrains on the fibers, And then the conjecture would be that somehow the holomorphic Chang-Simons theory on those fibers is related to the general zero cross D model on some deformation, some smooth X beta. So we have X alpha. So we have plus D planes. Somehow it's related to this. And I'll try to explain how. Okay. So I'll try to explain this connection. Okay, so how is that going to go? Well, first of all, there is an important geometric result I should mention before we keep going. I'm not going to call it a theorem because I'm not sure if it's proven in for generality yet. I mean, Ron and Tony are maybe still working out the last details, but there is a geometric result. So, which goes as follows. So notice that we have this family. We obtain a family of Calabi-Yau trifolds, non-compact Calabi-Yau trifolds, over the space of holomorphic quadratic differentials on sigma. And but this space is actually familiar to you. I mean, well, maybe to some of you from a different setup, if you want. This is nothing else but the base of the A1 Hitchin system. So this is the base of A1 Hitchin system on sigma. And although I don't have time to describe in detail what this is, it's maybe suffices to say for the present purposes is that given a point beta here, you can define a Hitchin spectral cover. Let me call it sigma twiddle beta. In the total space of the cotangent bundle of sigma, simply by equation y squared minus beta equals zero. So you get a spectral cover and for each point, and then there is an integrable system. There is an algebraic integrable system. So you get an algebraic integrable system over L, over the Hitchin base. To each point beta, you associate the prim variety of sigma twiddle, which is nothing else but the Jacobian of sigma twiddle, the anti-invariant part of the Jacobian, because here we have an obvious involution, y goes to minus y, so you take the anti-invariant part of the Jacobian and you get what's called a prim, and the prims form an algebraic integrable system. So you get a vibration over L, which is an algebraic integrable system. So this time it's really algebraic. I mean, these are abelian varieties. Okay, so now the result I was mentioning before is that if you want, this is a non-compact trifold, but you can define, if you want, the compact part of the Jacobian, intermediate Jacobian. So the result is that the compact part of the intermediate Jacobian of X over L is isomorphic to the prim vibration, which means that this is this trifold, so in this case, it's an incarnate, I mean, you get a Hitchin integrable system as the Jacobian vibration, the compact part of the Jacobian, intermediate Jacobian vibration of X. Okay, so that's maybe one of the main results. And now what are we going to do next is essentially try to reconstruct this integrable system. Try to understand how this can occur from the large gen dynamics of D-brains on the resolved threefold X alpha. So the plan now would be to go back to the open string side and try to understand how large gen dynamics can actually be connected in any way with this. So now we are back to the open string side. So we're working on some X alpha twiddle, which we noticed contained the exceptional curves. And we want D-brains with multiplicities N1 and 2G minus 2. However, there is a homology constraint you have to consider here, which we don't completely understand very well. We don't understand very well, but you have to impose it in order for things to work. Namely, you have to consider configurations of total homology class 0. All right, so now you want to construct some kind of a field theory associated with this object, a gauge theory associated with this object, whose Lagrangian dynamics is giving you the Hitchin system. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, here we're going to use, again, some of the insights of Dyer-Gaffney and Wafa. Namely, in order to do that, it's easier. The most convenient way is to start with, you start with deep grains on X naught twiddle, namely the resolution of the singular guy, which, if you remember, is the total space of the canonical over this rule surface. And then you try to write down some quantum theory there, and then you deform. Then deform. So this is the most efficient way to do things. And, well, in order to actually carry out this program, I should maybe first tell you what these objects really are. What do I mean by deep grains in this geometry? Okay. So deep grains, they should be some objects in a category. Well, this was, of course, suggested by the original idea of Kontsevich from homological mirror symmetry, also explained in physical terms by Douglas and many other people. So they have to be objects in some category, which is sort of constructed naturally out of this, some kind of derived category, actually triangulated category. So, and the naive answer, the first guess would be, well, we have to look at the derived category of this guy. Although that's not quite the right thing, because first of all, you have to use some kind of a infinity version of the derived category. And second of all, we're interested only in deep grains supported really on the, so sorry, at this guy. So this guy has a projection map down to S, and there is a zero section. And we're only interested in deep grains supported on the zero section. So in that case, we can construct a triangulated category, the relevant, if you want. This is something we cannot prove. This is just something that's physics, some physical insight. The relevant triangulated category is, if you want, it's really a Bondal-Kapranov category. Of what I like to call twisted Higgs complexes on S. And I'm not going to go through the formal, the exact formal definition of this. It's a three-step procedure. I'm just going to give you a flavor of what kind of objects we are considering. Well, you are taking some collections and looking at collections of bundles, holomorphic bundles on S, and then you have maps between holomorphic bundles, but not just maps like this as in the complex. You can also have maps going backwards a certain number of steps. And there is some selection rule that tell you how many steps you can go backwards, and the arrows here are just maps in forms on S. With values in homomorphism from whatever EI to EJ tensor with exterior powers of KS. So that's what the arrows are. So you look at objects like this, you can show that they form a triangulated category, and the important point is that they are supposed to satisfy a Maurer-Cartan equation, which says that d bar phi ji phi jk phi ki is zero. So these are the objects. Now, the morphisms are, of course, more complicated, but they're very natural, so I'm not going to go into that. Anyway, so these are the deep grains that we want. Now, so this is sort of the category of all grains. Now, I have to specify the object I'm interested in, namely this configuration. This configuration happens to be a non-S-to-God complex. It just happens to be. So this is a complex. And it's not very hard to construct it. It's just a three-term complex of the following form. So let me. I take a collection of points, distinct points, of points on sigma, pa and qa, and a running from 1 to n, and I want to wrap dbrains here, and anti-dbrains there, on the fibers of S, on the corresponding fibers of S. So I want dbrains on each fiber over PA, and I want anti-dbrains over each fiber over QA. All right, so how do I say that? Well, mathematically, I say that I just have to construct the following complex. So that's the complex I'm looking at. So that's sort of, if you want, the type of object I'm interested in. But of course, performing deformations of this object in this category will result in a zoo of objects, if you want. And then what are the ingredients of, how do I construct it? So now I'm just trying, I need to do physics. I need a dynamical field theory. So how do I construct the relevant field theory here? So there is a three, again, so the holomorphic chain summons theory, if you want. Well, again, I'm going to use insights from Dygav and Vafa and also a work of Witten on twisters. So skipping some intermediate steps, I can just formulate this in terms of a couple of ingredients. First of all, I need a moduli space. I need a moduli space, M, of the object, I don't know, let's call this object somehow. Give it a name in this category, C maybe, I don't know, of C in the triangulated category. And that's a complicated problem because it's a complicated category. You can excite all the other arrows, so you really face a complicated problem, which nevertheless is tractable for this particular object. Then it is a moduli space. Then it is some holomorphic or maybe meromorphic measure on the moduli space. So this is not terribly surprising because, you see, this is some kind of a topological quantum field theory in the sense that not that it's dependent on complex structures, of course, but it has a nilpotent symmetry and so on. So the usual argument goes through and the path integral has to localize to some finite integral over the moduli space, except that in this case, the measure is not it's not a p comma p form, it's actually a p comma zero form. So in order to formulate a path integral, you actually need to specify something else, which is a middle dimensional real cycle. So that I can integrate this over something. Otherwise, I can't integrate over the whole moduli space as usual. So these are the basic ingredients, and there is a fourth one in this particular case. Namely, I have to add deformations. So I also need deformations. So I need need deformations corresponding to some generic alpha. Okay, so let me try to just. So first of all, you can construct this M as a stack, although I couldn't explain the details. But what's important is that we can construct it as some kind of a stack, and it's birational. So the symmetric product of sigma squared, which is not totally surprising, although the result itself is quite involved. So this is M. Now, coming to the holomorphic measure, this is a very beautiful story. Here, we know this from Robert Dygav. There is a nice construction because there is some set of physical constraints, which says something that when two points PA and PB come together, you have to expect some kind of a zero second order when QA and QB come together the same. And if PA and QB coincide, you expect a fold. Okay, of order two. So there is a beautiful construction for this measure, and quite very natural physically. Namely, you just write the measure omega, it's going to be, you take a fermionic calculator, you take three fermions on the Riemann surface, and you take a fermionic calculator with insertions at PAs and QAs, and you square it. And this is going to give you a very nice measure, which actually satisfies all the physical constraints. Okay. So that's the construction of the measure. Now, for the cycle could be important if you're aiming to start to study non-perturbative effects and so on. But if you're just interested in the large radius in the planar limit of the theory, it's sort of the choice of gamma is almost irrelevant. I'm going to tell you in a second what it is, although it doesn't play any role. Okay. And now finally deformations. Well, in order to study deformations, what you have to do, well, so yeah, for deformations, remember that I have to pick a global holomorphic form on sigma. This is my sigma. I pick. Okay. So now the D grains are just they project to points. So you have points here, P A and Q B. Of course, they just grab the fibers of S. If you want fibers. Now, what happens is that you have to pick up, for the contour, you can pick up any loop on gamma which contains the zeros of alpha. So that's why I'm saying it, what I have to say, it doesn't really depend on this choice, but you just pick up some gamma that passes through all the zeros of alpha, and then you construct gamma as a symmetric product and so on. And now, the deformation is that in order to construct deformation, there is a slightly subtle thing that you have to really take a universal cover. So you really have to work on the symmetric product of the universal cover of sigma, which is something not surprisingly to the physicists. But so you can construct a deformation on working on this M twiddle, which is something like universal cover. You just construct deformation. So deform the measure. You add a holomorphic superpotential depending on PA and QA, and this is just going to be given by, given by the average Jacobi map. So, in other words, this superpotential W alpha of PA and QA, it's a sum over the contour integrals from PA to QA, except that now these are really points on the, you really have to lift everything to the universal cover, at least to the abelian cover, which is physically natural because somehow between deep grains you have strings that can go around non-trivial loops in the surface. So that sort of naturally requires you to lift everything to the abelian cover. Okay, so to wrap things up, I'm going to claim the holomorphic chain Simons theory. It's really like a zero-dimensional field theory here. Because it's really a finite dimensional integral, and it just integrates on this model, on this contour gamma. I have to integrate the measure I wrote there, times weighted by e to the minus the superpotential deformation. So that's my proposal for the field theory on the deep range. And this is really, now it's maybe a good time to say it, if you perform this construction for a non-compact, for sigma, when sigma is a C-line, then you really get then this is really a Hermitian matrix model. Then you recover the Hermitian matrix model. Okay. Except that in this case, it's more than that because this is not really a matrix model. It can be written as an integral of matrices. All right. So now the connection to the Hitchin system I described before is the following. The connection with the Hitchin system. Well, again, you can sort of borrow matrix model technology. Maybe you have to improve it somewhat or something. But in any case, what you have to do to see that, you have to study or if you want a critical point, or if what's called in physics semi-classical vacua of the holomorphic transformers theory, in this limit, in the limit in which n goes to infinity and gs goes to zero, keeping this fixed. Well, what this really means is that semi-classical means that, you see, classical, what would be classical vacua? Classical vacua means I take this deformation and I study its critical point. And then it's very easy, because of this formula, it's very easy to see that the classical vacua will correspond to just, clusters of B-brains sitting at the zeros of alpha. So, I don't know, have some zeros of alpha here, 1, 2, up to 2g minus 2. So have some clusters of B-brains sort of sitting there together. So these are classical vacua, all of these possible configurations of B-brains. Now, semi-classical vacua means that you're really looking for solutions to the critical points of the whole thing, including the measure. So you want critical points of this. Okay, so now if you do that, if you include this, it's in some sense you can think about it as some kind of effective potential, effective semi-classical potential, and you study the critical points of this. And now the connection to the Hitchin system is that the semi-classical vacua, after some algebra and so on, you need some technology here, are into one-to-one correspondence to Hitchin spectral covers. And instead of going through the algebra, which would be, it would be complicated, and I wouldn't have time to finish it anyway, I'd rather close by giving you what the physical intuition is behind it. What does this mean? What does this really mean is that if you take, if you take some kind of classical vacuum, of B-brains, and you, as I said, they are just B-brains clustered at the critical points of the zeros of alpha. Now, semi-classically, what happens is that you get some kind of a repulsive potential here. So somehow the B-brains will be smeared out, would be sort of, in the semi-classical vacuum, the B-brains become sort of fuzzy. The geometry is really fuzzy. It's no longer classical geometry. So B-brains are just sort of smeared out along some branch cut in sigma, and to each such configuration of branch cuts, you can associate, obviously, a double cover of sigma branch. You can associate a quadratic differential with zeros at the endpoints, and then you can associate a double cover. And actually, the periods on the double cover have very natural physical meaning. In other words, you get the filling fractions, if you want the filling. If you want to know what fraction of B-brains is actually located in this branch cut, you can express that in terms of period of a one-form on the canonical one-form of the spectral cover. So that's sort of an extension of the digraph alpha correspondence to this more general geometric construction. And, that's if you want technically the result, the punchline of this. I think more interestingly, it would be to really understand now how we can go beyond genus zero, because now we sort of have some kind of a field theoretic formulation for D-brains, which is quite compact. And I think the next challenge would be try to understand in mathematical terms how you go beyond genus zero, namely how to quantize Kodaira Spencer theory and so on. And, I'll stop here.
Not the same manual and the rest of the